Morning, everyone. Today's daf and getting this mem vav. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is one of Zech and Nishmasli, Gabriela Bashmuel. We start today in the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Hayam and Beis. We're finishing up the fourth parak of the Masechta. Not finishing it today, but a couple more days of the fourth parak. We're discussing various issues which are connected with Tikkun Olam. So as you'll see, this will be a theme that will take us well into the fifth parak of the Masechta. So the topics right now are going to seem a little bit all over the place, especially when we get to the fifth parak. Topics are really going to be all over the place. But again, the glue that puts everything together is this concept of Tikkun Olam. Various institutions that were made by the Chachamim just to make living a little bit better. So a husband unfortunately hears that his wife is involved in Znos. He doesn't know. There's no edim. There's no witnesses verifying this. It's just simply a rumor that is circulating. And as a result of that, he divorces his wife as a result of this rumor. So lo yachzur. So the Mishnah says he can't take her back. We'll see why in just a moment. In fact, we'll go through Rashi in just a moment. But the Mishnah says that as a safeguard measure, so he cannot take her back ever. For reasons which we're about to explain, Mishum Neda Lo Yachzer. But before we explain, the second halacha in the Mishnah is very similar, but he's divorcing his wife for a different reason. She's making a lot of nedarim, and the nedarim she's making is just really it's getting on him, it's weighing on him. Now, of course, the husband has the right to be made for neder; he can annul the wife's nedarim, but she seems to be making them pretty consistently and pretty often. And on top of that, also just a quick reminder to me and you: he can't be made for all of her nedarim. Some of them he can, but not all of them. There are certain rules and regulations in terms of what he can be made for that we learned at the end of Masechta Nedarim. So anyway, so lo yachzir. So in this case as well, the Mishnah says that once he divorces her, and this is the reason why he divorced her, so lo yachzir, so he can't take her back. Let's stop right here at the Mishnah. Let's turn directly to Rashi. Now, everything that Rashi says right now is going to come out in the Gemara, but it's a little bit easier right now to say it at this juncture, while we're still, we haven't seen any other position in the Mishnah. There are four opinions in the Mishnah, so there's a lot to chew on, but really, all this information will become much easier to digest if we get down the two reasons why it is that what the Chachamim are possibly concerned about. So look at the second Rashi in the Mishnah, actually third Rashi in the Mishnah, Lo Yachzir. Rashi writes, V'afilu nimtzu So let's say, for example, that the rumors and allegations are not true. Meaning, there was a rumor that she was Mizane, but it was totally unfounded. It's not true. Or, let's say that she made a neder and the Chachamim matu the neder. Okay, in both of those cases. So it turns out that the reason why he divorced her is no longer in force. Still, he can't remarry her. Now, Rashi goes on to say, V'tam apligi ba'amarai. So in terms of why can't that be? Why can't he remarry her? We know there's a mitzvah, machzir grusha. So then when you divorce a wife, so you want to take her back again, you can take her back, you're encouraged to take her back. Now, we already discussed this time and again. If she marries somebody else in between, so then you can't marry her back, you can't take her back, you can't marry her ever again. Obviously, we're talking about even if she divorces the man in between. You can't take her back. This is machzir grusha so achar shenitzeis. The Torah describes this as a toeva. That's disgusting. It's an abomination. We're obviously only talking about a scenario in which she didn't remarry. In other words, you divorced her, and then you reconsidered, and after you reconsidered, you took her back again. So in this circumstance, so the Mishnah says, if you divorced her because of rumors of znus, or because of nedarim that she made, so you can never take her back. Why? Rashi goes on to write. So one issue was kilkul, the ika mishum, the ika mandar kenasu. And the other issue is kenas. So let's explain both of these reasons outside. And again, all this is going to be said in the Gemara. Now, issue number one, kilkul. Issue number one, kilkul, he'll destroy her. What does that mean, he'll destroy her? Meaning as follows. Let's say that he divorced her because of rumors of znus. Then, after divorcing her, her name is totally cleared. Okay, and not only is her name totally clear, but she goes ahead and she remarries somebody else. Now the husband says, the first husband says, had I known. Had I known that those were just simply rumors, none of it was true, I didn't want to divorce her. I had no interest in divorcing her. In fact, the only reason why I divorced her is because of the rumors that circulate around her. And now it turned out to be not true. You know what? Not only would I not have divorced her, I never would have divorced her. And basically now what he has is kind of like a charata on the get that he gave. Now,
Can you have a get, a charut on
the get? Right. In other words, once you give a get, so you really can't have charata. On the other hand, it's almost like, it's almost like there's a built-in tonight to the get, in that he's given the get on the condition that she committed znus. So now it's no longer there. So it's as if ki'ilu. It's as if there's a built-in tonight to the get, and therefore the get is not going to be good. So whether it's true or it's not true, what's going to happen is that people are going to call the get into question, and now she's married to another man, and she had children from another man. She may not have been divorced from her first husband. If all this is true, meaning not if all this is true, but if this is a perception, so then people are going to refer to her children as mamzerim. So the Chachamim said, if the reason why, this is reason number one, if the reason why a husband's divorcing his wife is either because of rumors and allegations of znus, or because of she's just making too many darim, so it's explained to the husband at the time, you know, you're divorced, so you can't take her back again. Because we don't want the husband to ever be in a position later on to come and call the get into question, and so therefore we tell him you can't marry again. So this is reason number one we're going to call from this point going forward, kilkul. Because of the possible destruction that would present to her if he could take her back again. This is reason number one, kilkul. Reason number two, says Rashi, is kenas. Kenas, it's a penalty on the woman. Meaning the woman is behaving in a way where rumors are spreading about her, even if it's not true. Or the woman is making too many nedarim, so she's overbearing with the nedarim she's making. So as a kenas, as a penalty, so the Chachamim said to her, if he's going to divorce you, he can never take you back again. Because this is not how the Chachamim want women to behave. So therefore, as a kenas for the way they behaved, so therefore they can never go back to the original husband, even if the original husband wants to try this marriage once again.
It's not a kenas on him.
It's a kenas.
Really, nothing happened.
I'd say it's more on her.
He really wants it back.
I'd say more on her. I mean, first of all, you look at the lashon of Rashi, which is really the lashon of the Gemara later on. Shelo yebenos Yisrael.
Okay. The rumor is not true.
But then
you're conflating the two
issues. Even if the rumor is not true, meaning she's doing something, it's like we discussed back in Masechta Sota. She's doing something that is obviously correct. Okay. So anyway, so those are the two reasons according to the Tanakhama why he cannot remarry her. So reason number one, we're going to call kilkul. Kilkul is a concern that he's going to call the get into question and not really invalidate the get, but at least give her perception of an invalid get, which means that her next marriage and her next children are going to be a mamzerim, or at least perceived mamzerim. That's issue number one. Or issue number two is kenas. It's just a penalty, meaning this is not the right way for Benos Yisrael to behave, to either have rumors sort of swirling about them that they cause nos, or even nedarim. Nedarim also. It's not a way to behave where a woman is going to be making neder after neder after neder. So it's a kenas. So the Chachamim said, look, if that's why he divorced you, he can never take you back again. Okay, so kilkul, kenas. Those are two possible reasons in terms of explaining the first opinion in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama and the Mishnah. We're going back to the Mishnah now, number two in the Mishnah. I told you the four shittas in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol neder she'adu b'rabim lo yachzer v'shelo yadu b'rabim yachzer. Rabbi Yehuda makes the distinction whether the neder was made publicly or the neder was not made publicly. Why does he make such a distinction? So once again, we turn to Rashi, and Rashi explains. So the ein lo hafara. I'm sorry. Rashi. Lo yachzir the ain lo hafar of Rabbi Yehuda lo chayish lo kukula ella shelo yibnos yisrael prutzus ben adarim. So explains Rashi, the whole issue over here is the issue of kenas. He's not worried about kilkul. Kilkul is not the issue for Rabbi Yehuda. It's just simply a kenas. And now hoka chinajer ned barabim prutzus ben adarim v'kansua. And it's just now a question of when does her behavior become unacceptable? Meaning, at what point do the chachamim say, you know what? That's not the right way for Benos Yisrael to behave. And so therefore, when do the Chachamim, when does she trip the wire, so to say, so that the Chachamim's Kenas is going to apply to her? So, if she made it publicly, that's just immodest, inappropriate behavior. If she did not make it publicly, if it was a private neder, so then that's not immodest behavior, it's not immoral behavior, and she didn't trip the Kenas. So that is Rav Yehuda's distinction between making the neder barabim versus not making the neder barabim. I'm just thinking out loud. I don't know if Rav Yehuda is going to make any distinction in terms of znus, meaning the first case of the Mishnah, right? And most of mishem mishem shemra, meaning that right. I can't envision that there's a distinction between different types of shemras or okay. Anyway, just thinking out loud. I think this distinction only exists in terms of a neder. Rabbi Meir Omer. Now we're back to the Mishnah. This is the third sheet of the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer called neder shetzar chakir es chacham lo yachzur shenetzar chakir es chacham. Yachzer. It depends whether or not she requires a chacham to be matir or she does not require a chacham to be matir, as we've discussed in the beginning of the today shir. Sometimes a woman makes a neder and the husband can be mefer, and sometimes the husband cannot be mefer. Again, it depends. Dvarim shebeino leveino, if the things that are connected directly between him and her and is going to affect him and influence him, then he can be mefer, otherwise he can't. And just to put it simply, some nedarim she makes needs a chacham, and some of them don't. She could just be mefer on his own. So, if it's a neder that requires chakir as chacham, meaning she needs to go to a chacham and to ask for a pesach, for an opening, in order for the chacham to release her from the neder, so according to Rav Yehuda, under those circumstances, according to Rav Meir, under those circumstances, so he can't take her back. If it doesn't require chakir as chacham, then he can't take her back. Now, again, what's behind Rav Meir? So once again, we turn to Rashi. Rashi explains. Rav Meir suffered time and mishum kikula. Rav Meir says that the issue is not a kanas issue, meaning, for the Tana Kama, we're going to give two different reasons. Now, as we already pointed out, for Rabbi Huda only holds to the reason of kanas. That's why Rabbi Huda makes a distinction whether it's a neder made barabim or not barabim. According to Rabbi Meir, the issue is not kanas, meaning he totally disagrees with the issue behind kanas. Rather, he feels the issue is that of kilkul. Now, kilkul means that the husband will have charat, he's going to have regrets. According to Rabbi Meir, the husband's only going to have regrets when there was a possibility for chakir's chacham, where he could have taken her to a chacham. But if he could not have taken her to a chacham, if he didn't need to take her to a chacham, he's not going to have any regrets. Meaning, if this is the kind of issue where the husband himself could just simply be made for the neder, either he'll do it or he won't do it. But he's not going to suffer from regrets. Masha Inkin, if it's something where we could have gone to a chacham, oh no, I wasn't aware of the fact that we could have gone to a chacham, then he's going to have regrets. And then post-divorce, he's going to have regrets about the divorce itself, and that's going to lead to the issues of kilkul. So, v'shenetzar chakir chacham yachzer. Okay, so that is shita number 3 in the Mishnah, and that is shita's Reb Meir. And shita number 4 in the Mishnah, Amar Reb Elazar lo asur zeh, elam imnei zeh. We didn't ask for this except for this, meaning, as Rashi explains, Reb Elazar essentially agrees with Reb Meir that the issue is an issue of kilkul, but Not the way Rabbi Meir says it. In fact, just the opposite. Meaning the fundamental issue, or that which he's going to regret, is that of hafara. But he won't really have regrets about chakiras chacham. Why? Because as the Gemara is about to explain, the Gemara will explain, because Rav Elazar says that fundamentally a husband is not interested in bringing his wife to Beis Din. Meaning bringing your wife to Beis Din is a bizayon, right? You're being mevaza. It's degrading to have to go to Beis Din. Anytime you go to any type of judicial proceeding, it's just uncomfortable. And a husband, generally speaking, who's protective of his wife, is not going to want to put his wife in such a situation. So if she made a neder, where the neder fundamentally needs chakiras chacham, according to Rav Elazar, the husband's not going to be interested in taking his wife to Beis Din. So therefore, he's really not going to suffer any regrets later on. So the issue is kilkul, but the issue of kilkul doesn't really go on the case of chakiras chacham, because he's not going to want to take his wife to Beis Din. The issue of kilkul is really on hafara, meaning had I known that I could have been mefer, oh, then I never would have divorced her. So that really is what's motivating this halach of lo yachzir, really the issue of hafara. And then, as long as hafara was the principal reason why, so then they also asked chakir's chacham as well. And neder that requires chakir's chacham, but that's not really it. Because a person is not really regretting, hey, I could have brought my wife to Beis Din. According to Rav Elazar, husbands don't want to do that. They don't want to bring their wives to Beis Din. I'm Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Maisa Betzidon. And then finally, after the Mishnah presents the four shitas, then the Mishnah tells us a story. A story which, at first glance, is going to seem to be unconnected to the Mishnah. Not totally unconnected, but you'll see. So, Be'echash Amar Li'ishto Konim Im Eini Megarshech V'girsha. So, the husband makes a neder, basically motivating himself to divorce his wife. So here, after the Mishnah talks about the wife making nedarim, Then the Mishnah tells a story about the husband making a neder. And later the Gemara is going to ask the question, what just happened? Meaning, in the Mishnah, wouldn't the story have to do more with her making a neder and not him making the neder? So stay tuned, because the Gemara is going to ask that question. And then the Mishnah says, oh, you know what, you can take her back. In other words, you're allowed to marry her. And again, that seems to be going against everything we just learned in the Mishnah. We just learned in the Mishnah that if the divorce is predicated on neder, so then you can take her back. And then the Mishnah story is where the husband was told you can take her back. So, A, the Mishnah seems to be somewhat of a non sequitur, going from her making nedarim to him making a neder. And B, is that the ruling of the Mishnah seems to be going against everything we just said in the Mishnah. So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask those questions, and you'll see the answer to the first question is really the answer to the second question as well. All that will be explained later on. And then the final words of the Mishnah are Mimnei Tikkun Olam. That Mimnei Tikkun Olam, what is that going on? The last case that we just discussed, or was it going on really the entirety of the Mishnah? So once again, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that question as well. Okay, we went through the Mishnah. Admittedly, the Mishnah is a little bit complicated because there are four opinions in the Mishnah. There really are two reasons circulating behind the Mishnah, and it's just a question of knowing which reason applies to which Tana. Again, Rashi did a great job in terms of organizing everything, and hopefully I did an acceptable job just presenting every one of the shittas in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yosef bar Minyamin, Amar Rav Nachman, V'hushi Amar La Mishum Shemra Ani Motziach. Okay. He's got to say, says Rav Nachman, when he's giving her the get, that Mishum Shemra Ani Motziacha, meaning I'm explaining to you the reason why I'm divorcing you. I'm divorcing you because, okay. In other words, I know, especially in modern American law, so there a reason has to be given for divorce, okay. In state by state, anyway, unfortunately, just, you know, living life, you get to learn these things. But there has to be a reason for divorce. By a get, I don't know. I don't think so. Right? Yeah, right. In other words, the marriage is just simply for whatever it's not salvageable, and you give her a get. So I don't know if there's a reason that has to be declared. However, what Rav Nachman's teaching us is that if this case in the Mishnah where we're going to trip off the ban of remarriage of Lo Yachzir, that's only under the circumstance where he tells her, this is why I'm divorcing you. He's explaining it to her that this is the reason why I'm divorcing you. Now, if this is the only time when you can't remarry her, so what's the reason behind this halacha of Rav Nachman? That you have to tell her at the time of marriage, this is why I'm divorcing you. So, kasava time am I mishum kilkula. So the issue obviously is kilkul. Meaning, it's almost like it's ki'ilu. I'm going to try to be careful about the way I present this. It's almost as like he's making a tanai. I'm divorcing you because you're making too many nedarim. I'm divorcing you because there's a shemra. There's rumors about you that you were unfaithful. So now, once he says that at the time of the divorce, so now later on, if it turns out that it's not true, meaning the rumors were just simply not true, so now he could say, oh, do you know why I divorced you? I divorced you because of the rumors. If the rumors aren't true, so you know what? I take back my divorce. It's ki'ilu, it's almost as if the divorce was given out tonight. So if you require the husband to say this at the divorce, it's because the issue is fundamentally kilkul. So that's what Gemara says. Now if he doesn't say that, so then there's no tanai. Meaning, and we're not mind readers, and we're not expected to know what he's thinking. Meaning, even if he is divorcing her because of rumors, but he doesn't say it, so he never said it. So therefore, there can't even be a perception of a get being given out tonight. Okay, so that's version number one of the Gemara. So version number one explains that the whole halach of Lo Yachzir is predicated on Kilkul. It's almost as if there was a tonight. But if this is the reason, then the only way that Lo Yachzir is going to kick in, where he can't remarry her, is only if he actually says it. He verbalizes it at the time of divorce. Ikedam, the Gemara brings the second version of this discussion. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Minyamin, Amar Rav Nachman, Sarach Shiyomer La. Here's what he needs to say to her at the divorce. Have a Yodash, Mishum Shemra Ani Motziacha, Mishum Neder Ani Motziacha. You should know that I'm divorcing you because of Shemra. You should know that I'm divorcing you because of all the Nedarim that you made. Now, He's informing her. It's not like the first Lashon. So here in the second Lashon, he's telling her, this is the reason why you're getting a divorce, as if we're saying basically, it's, you know, I guess we can call it education. Meaning education / clarification, this is what's happening to you as a consequence of your action. What's what we would call normally a kenas. The Gemara says, time am I, kidei shlo yubanosis or prutzus barayis amin adarim. So here, it's just basically, it's a kenas that was imposed on her. I'm divorcing you because you're making too many adarim. I'm divorcing you because of the rumors and allegations. She'll learn, and anyone else who witnesses also will learn, this is not the way for benos Yisrael to behave. So this falls more into the category of kenas. Hilkach, tzarech lemeim alahachi. So here now, if the whole purpose is education / kenas, so then it has to be articulated. Meaning, it's the whole reason why the Chachamim instituted the lo yachzir, so that it would be, she would be serving as a model, not a role model, but basically as an object lesson of this is the way not to behave. So the Gemara says, so now what we just presented is two versions of Rav Nachman, but really behind the two versions of Rav Nachman are the two different reasons that we gave in the Mishnah of why a husband, if he divorces his wife because of either rumors or because of Nedarim, he can't remarry her. The first Lashon of Rav Nachman is predicated on Kilkul. We're worried that he's going to call into question the validity of the get. The second Lishna of Rav Nachman is predicated on Kenas, that she'll serve as an object lesson of this is not the way for Benos Yisrael to behave. And then the Gemara Tanya Kalishna Kama, Vatanya Kalishna Basra, the Gemara presents prices that support both Lishonas. Tanya Kalishna Kama, Amar Rav Nehem Mimneima, Amar Amos Yisisha Mishum Shemra, Lo Yachzer, Umishum Neder, Lo Yachzer. How come he can't take her back? So Shema Telef Adinas Alachim and Insets Varim Badaim V'Yomer Ilo Izi Yodeh Shekenu Afilo Im Hayunos Nim Li Mea Mana Lo Yisi Megarsha V'Nim Seget Batal Uvanei Mamzerim Lefichach Omrim Lo Hava Yodeh Shamos Yisish Mishim Shema Lo Yachzer Mishim Neda Lo Yachzer. So here in the brace, it spells it out. The whole reason why he's not allowed to remarry her is because what's going to happen later on is that turns out that the rumors that were swirling around are untrue, and he says, had you even given me 100 mana, you couldn't give me any amount of money, I wouldn't have divorced her. I only divorced her because of the rumors that circulate around her. So he's going to basically once again call the question the validity of the get, almost ke'ilu as if now stripping the get away from her, and then her children are going to be perceived as mamzerim, and so that is Bryson number one supporting our first explanation of Kilkul. Tanya Kalishna Basra, and now we're going to have a Bryson supporting the second explanation. Why is it that a husband cannot take his wife back if he's divorcing her because of either rumors or because of Nedarim? Shelo yibin eisitzo prutzus barayis of Nedarim, so that women don't behave this way. Lefichach omrim lo, amor lo havi yodash, mishum shemra ani motziacha, umishum nedar ani motziacha. And therefore, explanation has to be given to her, this is the reason why I'm divorcing you, so that she will serve as an object lesson for both her and for others as well. Okay?
If there was no intermediate marriage, then you wouldn't have the problem of Kilkul.
Correct. So in other words, ultimately Kilkul is going to have to come down to a Knas de Rabbanan. Meaning, because of the potential Kilkul, so the Chachamim imposed the Knas, even if she didn't remarry. Okay, right. Meaning, even when you explain Kilkul is the reason, but ultimately it's still going to be a Din de Rabbanan, a Knas de Rabbanan. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no concept of make-up like that.
It's not a question of Mekachthaus, it's just that there was, no, it's not an issue of Mekachthaus, it's just that tonight.
Had I known this was true, you know, I would not.
Right, so no, you can't say that had you not articulated. That's why, at the time of the get, there, if you're holding by Kilkul, there has to be an articulation at the time the get was delivered. And the articulation is basically saying, I'm divorcing you because, on the condition that, this is how you behaved. But no, you can't. If you didn't verbalize anything at the giving of the get, then you can't afterwards say, "No, I didn't mean that. I regret it." Right, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now, here, what we're going to do now is we've done this already, but Now we're seeing it in the Gemara. We're going to go through now the next shitas in the Mishnah. Meaning, as we pointed out, the Mishnah has four shitas in them. So again, shita number one in the Mishnah, the Tanakam in the Mishnah, could be kilkul, could be kenas. And we had Bryce supporting both positions. And now we go through the rest of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kol Nedesh Yadu Baram, Lo Yachzu V'Shel Lo Yadu Baram, Yachzu Amar V'Shel Ben Levi, My Time Under Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason behind Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning, what's the difference between a public neder versus a private neder? Yachziv, Lo Yikim B'nei Yisrael, Kinishbu Lahem, Nisiyah Ha'idah. Because we know that by Yehoshua, when meeting the Givonim were one of the Shiva Amim, were one of the seven nations, and they came to Yehoshua pretending like they weren't part of the Shiva Amim, and they made a peace treaty with Yehoshua, and Yehoshua says, "Oh, you know what? We're going to make a peace treaty," and they made a shvua that they weren't going to harm that Bnei Yisrael were not going to harm the Givonim, and then later discovered, of course, that they were actually one of the members of Canaan. And so, what happens over here? You see that once you make a neder barabim, now here it's a shvua, so it's not exactly the same, but the same basic principle. So once you make something barabim, so that's it; it can't be undone. So that's the that's what's behind the shita of Rav Yehuda. Now virabanan. Now the chachamim on this point are going to say hasam michal shvua alayhu klal. The Chachamim say, what kind of case study are you bringing from Yehoshua and the Givonim? There wasn't even a Shvu over there. There wasn't even a Chaloshvu over there. Kevin de Amr Luhum Eretz Rechoka Banav Lo Ba'u Lo Chayla Shvua. Meaning that Shvu was all predicated on wrong information. They said we come from a faraway nation. Meaning they were essentially saying we're not one of the Shiva Amim. And they were. So it's not even a Shvua. You can't call something a shvua if it's predicated on false information. So I'm sorry. The chay shvua alay klal. V'hai delo kalena mishim kedushas Hashem. The only reason why Yehoshua didn't harm the Givonim is because of Kiddush Hashem. Very interesting Rashi over here. I'll read the Rashi inside. Mishim kedushas Hashem. Rashi says shelo yomru ha'ov dekochavim avru al shvua sam. Perception. Rashi says, look, it's not a shvua. They said they were from a faraway nation. It wasn't true. So, but nevertheless, at least there was a perceived peace treaty created between the two. And even though Bnei Yisrael had every right to break that peace treaty because it wasn't based on correct information, it was based on a falsehood, but still, there would be a perception of a broken peace treaty. And the Goyim would say, this is how the Jews behave. And so Kiddush Hashem mandates that they honor the word, even though the word didn't fundamentally need to be honored. Obviously, to take this point now to its logical conclusion, so that means then that Kiddush Hashem includes even cases where you're right, but there's a perceived wrong that you're doing that also is incorporated within the principle of Kiddush Hashem. Okay, application obviously is not for me to say, but it's just certainly interesting. Now, that is, so the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim is a neder barabim. Is a neder barabim breakable? So according to Rav Yehuda, no, it's not. You see it from Yehoshua. And the Chachamim's response to Rav Yehuda is, what kind of proof is that? It's not even a neder. That's not even a shvua. It just happens to be. So for perceived reasons, they're going to honor their word, but they didn't really need to honor their word. The Kama Rabbim, and then the Gemara wants to know, when you say neder barabim, what's considered public? You have to make a neder in front of how many people in order for it to be considered neder barabim? So Rav Nachman Amar Gimar, Rav Yitzchak Amar Asaras, Machlokus Amarayim, whether the number is 3 or 10. Rav Nachman Amar Gimel Yamim Beis Rabim Gimel. Rav Nachman has such an interesting source for his halacha that in order for it to be considered rabim, it has to be 3. How does he know it? He learns it from Zava Gadol. Meaning, it's so interesting over here that the Gemara takes a halacha which has nothing to do with, it's a Tumah Tahara halacha. It has to do with how many days of consecutive bleeding a woman's going to have during her Yemei Ziva in order for it to be considered a Zava Gadola. And the number is 3. We know that based on the Pesukim, we darshan the Pesukim, remember the Gemara in the beginning of Megillah, in the first parak over there. It's also the Gemara Nida as well, but either way, the number over there for the word Rabim is 3. So you see, the word 3 is connected to Rabim, Yamim Rabim. So it's an interesting transition. Well, once you see that Rabim over there means 3, so then Rabim in general means 3, meaning a Nedib Rabim also is done in front of 3 people. Say okay. Anyway, Rabbi Yitzhak Amar Asar Dichsev Eda, and Rabbi Yitzhak says no. In order for it to be considered Rabbim, it's 10 Eda. We know that the word Eda is code for a minion, right? The Meraglim were the original Eda, not the best Eda, but they were the original Eda. And of course, you take away Yehoshua and Kalev, they were not part of the eighth Atzas of Meraglim. So the Eda is code for 10. So Rabbi Yitzhak says that in order for it to be considered an Eda Rabbim, it has to be 10. Okay, that all was Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Moving along, Shitas Rabbi Meir. Rameir Omer Kol Nedesh Tzarech V'chulei Tanya Rabbi Elazar Omer Lo Asru Tzarech El Mimeshen Tzarech Mamai Kemiflegi. What's the machlokes between Rameir and Rabbi Elazar? So again, we already spelled it out back in the Mishnah. We're going to now be able to say it again. Rameir Savar Adam Rotsu Shitas Bazo Yishu Bebezdin. Rabbi Elazar Savar Ein Adam Rotsu Shitas Bazo Yishu Bebezdin. As Rashi explained back in the Mishnah, both Rameir and Rabbi Elazar are really predicated on the issue of Kilkel. We're worried about whether or not the husband's going to call into question the validity of the get that he gave, because had I known, I never would have done it. According to Rav Meir, if it's the kind of neder where we need a chacham, so what's the issue now? Take my wife to Beis Din? Of course I would have taken my wife to Beis Din. Had I known, I would have taken her to Beis Din. Rav Elazar disagrees fundamentally with that position, meaning he doesn't disagree fundamentally. He agrees the issue is kilkel. But what is the husband going to regret? Husband will never regret not having taken his wife to Beis Din. According to Rav Elazar, a husband never wants to take his wife to Beis Din. It's a bizui. It's a bizayon to bring his wife to Beis Din. So that's not the regret. The regret is, oh, I wish I would have known about this issue of Afara. I would have been made for my wife's neder. So both Rav Meir and Rav Elazar agree that the fundamental issue is kilkel. It's just a question of whether a person would regret not having brought his wife to Beis Din. Rav Meir says a person has such a regret, and Rav Elazar says a person never has such a regret. Okay, and now we get to the end of the Mishnah, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Maisa B'Tzidon. And then we get to the end of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah tells a story, which is a little bit strange. My Tana Diktani Maisa. So who's the Tana who's telling over the story? Meaning the story has nothing to do with the wife making the neder. The husband's making the neder. What in the world does the story have to do with anything that was taught in the Mishnah? So Chesur Matreva Hakikatani. So in order to understand the story in the Mishnah, we have to fill in the missing piece of the Mishnah, which is Bamed Dvar Mamorim. When is it that if the divorce is as a result of the wife making neder, he can never remarry her? That's only when she's the one making the neder. Aval neder ihu. But if it's the husband making a neder, yachzir. So then he is allowed to take her back. Meaning that the Mishnah is, it's missing in the Mishnah, we don't have in the Mishnah, but the Mishnah is making a basic distinction between she making a neder versus he making a neder. She's making a neder, so then lo yachzir. Again, for either reason, either kilkel or kenas. If he's making the neder, so then neither reason really applies. The Amr of Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Maisa Nami B'Tzidon Be'echa Chama Li'ishto, Kone Mimene Megarshecha V'Girsha V'Tiru Lo Chachamim, She'achzorenu Mimetikon Olam. And on that now, that's where now the Mishnah is telling the story. Meaning, now we understand how the story of the Mishnah fits in. After learning about this basic difference between her making Nadarim versus him making Nadarim, now the story is that the husband made a Nadar. I'm going to swear off all fruit in the world if I don't give my wife a get. He gives his wife a get, so that he now has fulfilled his Nadar. And meanwhile, if he reconsiders later on, he can marry her again. And then the Mishnah ends off with the words, Mimnei Tikkun Olam. So I'm sorry, Mimnei Tikkun Olam. Okay. Top of Mem Vav Amud Beis. My Konim. How did you understand the neder? Now, I already gave away the answer, but the Gemara is now going to spell it out. I'm Rav Huna Be'omer. Here's what he said. Ye'asru kol perish ba'olam alai imenu megarshech. I'm going to swear off all fruit in the world if I don't divorce you. That's how the neder was made by the man. Okay. V'hitir lo shiach v'reno. Pshita. So the Gemara says, and an allowance is made to the man to remarry her if he was the one who made the neder. So the Gemara at this point in time says obvious. Obvious because there's not a concern of kilkel, and there's not a concern of a kenas. So why would I have thought otherwise? The Gemara says, Ma'u detema, I might have thought, Havamina, Ligzor Mishum de Rabbi Nasan. The husband made a neder. Making a nederim is a bad thing. I know there's an entire Masechta dedicated to this topic. But in general, philosophically, making a neder is bad. D'tanya, Rabbi Nassan Omer, I know the kilo banabama. According to Rabbi Nassan, it's really bad. You make a neder, it's like building an altar in your backyard, as Rashi points out over here, at a time when it was prohibited. Meaning not when they're mutter, but at a time when they're prohibited. And then you make a neder, and then you fulfill the neder, which again, that's what you're supposed to do once you make the neder, but philosophically, it's as if you offered a carbon on the bama that you made in your backyard. Basically, the idea is, we discussed this back in the Dharma, the Ram says it's pretty straightforward, and that is that basically what you're doing is you're constructing more to the Torah, meaning the Torah is providing for us all the mitzvos and all the averos, and the Torah is complete. And then what we're doing is we're adding more to the Torah, like it's building a bomb in your backyard. We have a base of mikdash. There's a place to offer karbanos, and now you want another mizbeach, and you want to offer another karban, and it's like making a neder, and then so it's bad. So making neder is bad. So the husband's making a neder to divorce his wife, to promote himself, to incentivize himself to divorce his wife. So I might have thought the Havamina would have been, that's how you're going to behave, you can't take her back. That's the Mao de Tema. And finally, the last words of the Mishnah is Mei Tikkuna Olam. My Tikkuna Olam. Now, the words Tikkuna Olam is that's going on what exactly? So I'm Rav Sheshes HaReisha. So Rav Sheshes says it's going on the Reisha. So, and as Rashi points out, so when the Mishnah says lo yachzir, so the Mishnah means that he can't take her back because of tikkun olam. Again, tikkun olam, so we can go either one of two ways. Either we're worried about kilkul, the husband's going to regret having given the get, and the next children that she has from the next husband will be perceived as mamzerim. That's one way to understand tikkun olam, or tikkun olam meaning that she will now be serving as an object lesson of this is not the way for women to behave. That's the possible tikkun olam. Ravina amar lo olam ha-seifa. Ravina says it's going on the seifa. Now, seifa, meaning what we just learned was the last point in the Mishnah, that if the husband makes a neder, he can take her back. But what is that tikkun olam? That's just a simple halacha. The Rabbi Ketani ain bezum mimnei tikkun olam. And the way that we're going to learn the words tikkun olam over there means that in this case you don't have to concern yourself with tikkun olam, meaning that the baseline halacha is he could take her back, and there's no institution that was made under such circumstances. Okay. Move on to the next Mishnah. Let's quickly go through the next sugya of the Mishnah and Gemara. Hamotzi Sisha Mishum Ailonis. Very similar to Mishnah to the previous Mishnah. He's divorcing his wife on the basis that he thinks she is incapable of having children. Ailonis is a term that we used throughout the Mishnah and now throughout the Gemara of a woman who is incapable of having children. It's not just that there is some sort of chemical issue between him and her, and that it's just a function of him and her. Ailonis means that she's in a position where she just simply does not have the equipment to have a child.
She has to reach the age of 20 before that's determined.
Right. So here, it's not factually known. It's alleged. It's assumed that she's an islandess.
Is this something with the 10 years? Is there some sort of 10 years?
There is, but that's the issue I'm trying to avoid. Meaning, the 10 year issue is that if a husband and wife are married for 10 years, they don't have children. So then he has. Then the issue is not that we say that she's an islandess. All we're saying is that the two of them are incompatible to have children, and then they're just going to have to. He's going to have to move on to marry another woman. She'll marry another man, and. You know, that's just an incompatibility issue. Here we're talking about where she's an islandess, meaning she's expressing signs that she's just simply not physically able to have a child. So Amos is Ishtu Mishim islandess, Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo yachzir. So Rabbi Yehuda says under these circumstances he cannot be machzir her. So what's the concern? Rashi says over here, we're afraid that she's going to go and she's going to marry somebody and she's going to have a child, and the first husband's going to say, oh no. Had I known that, I never would have divorced. I only divorced her because she was an islandess, or I thought she was an islandess. So obviously she's not. If I would have known that, I never would have divorced her. And basically, he's going to call into question the validity of the get, or, like we said up until now this morning, kilkul. Rav Yehuda is concerned about a kilkul. Now, there is an inconsistency between this Mishnah and Shita's Rav Yehuda and this Mishnah and what we learned on the Amud Aleph of today. Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to be sensitive to that. V'chachamim omrim yachzir. So, and the Chachamim say, no, you can take her back. Now, In the previous Mishnah, the Chachamim were, at least according to one opinion, worried about Kilkul. So how come over here the Chachamim are not worried about Kilkul? Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to be sensitive to that as well. So so now let's say this woman who was divorced because at least there was a perception that she was an islandess. Rumors were not true. She married another man. She had a child from this other man. And now she goes back to her first husband. And she says to her first husband, look, really sorry it didn't work out, but you know, you didn't give me the ksuva because you were claiming mekach taos. Meaning when you married me, you didn't know I was an islandess. You didn't think I was an islandess. And then the accusations that I was an islandess. Okay, and then you claim mekach taos, which means that you didn't pay me meksuva. Well, lo and behold, we got a divorce, I married another man, and I had a child. So, you were wrong. So now, right, obviously, we're not talking marriage anymore, it's over, but we are talking meksuva, meaning it's now time you pay me. Because your claim of mekach taos obviously is no longer a claim. So now she's in a position where she's demanding her ksuva. So I'm Rav Yehuda Omer La. Omer lost. Rav Yehuda says, "Here's what we say to her: Shtikusech yafe midiborech. At this point in time, it's better for you to be quiet than to continue to talk. Meaning that your position right now and your provoking him to pay your ksuva is only going to incite him to call into question the validity of the get, because basically you're going to keep reminding him, and no better reminder than a financial reminder." You're going to keep reminding him that he divorced you on a false allegation that you were an islandess. Turns out that you weren't. And you keep pushing him for the ksuva, and he's going to keep regretting the get that he gave you. And then all you're doing is just getting yourself into trouble. So basically, take the L on the money. In other words, okay, you're not going to get your ksuva from him, but at the same time, you can move on with your life. So shtikusech yafa midiborech. It's better for you to be quiet than for you to continue to speak up. What's troublesome over here is the seemingly inconsistent positions of Rav Yehuda between this Mishnah on the Amud Beis and Rav Yehuda on the Amud Aleph, and then while we're on topic, the Chachamim on the Amud Beis and the Chachamim on the Amud Aleph. So lememar Rav Yehuda chayshel kukulav, Rabban lo chayshel kukulav, ha'ib chashamina lo. Did none. The Gemara says, don't you remember the Mishnah? So here it's great. It's like a self-contained daf. Like you don't have to like go back to like Mishnahs that we learned a week ago, 2 weeks ago, different Masechta. It's like the Amud Beis to the Amud Aleph. It's perfect. For the Daf Yomi, it's like a perfect Daf. So did not we learned in the Mishnah. So according to the Tanakhama, which we're going to assume is a Chachamim, that's generally how it works. So a man divorces his wife based on either she was making a darm, or the rumors that were swirling that she was infidel. So the so he can't take her back. That's the Chachamim Shita on the Amud Aleph, and here on the Amud Beis by the Alanis, Chachamim are fine having him take her back. And Rav Yehuda Amar Kol Neder Shiyado Barabim Lo Yachzir V'Shaloyado Barabim Yachzir. And according to Rav Yehuda, when can he not take her back on the Amud Aleph? Only when she makes a public neder, because then and only then the kanas is going to trip in. But had it not been for an issue of kanas, Rav Yehuda is not worried about Kilkul. That's not the concern of Rav Yehuda, at least on the Amud Aleph. So so you see that on the Amud Aleph, the way the shitas line up, the Chachamim are concerned about Kilkul, and Rav Yehuda is not concerned about Kilkul. So what we have over here is a significant problem. On the Amud Aleph, the Chachamim are worried about Kilkul, Rav Yehuda is not. And on the Amud Beis, it's just the opposite. Rav Yehuda is worried about Kilkul, and the Chachamim are not. That's called a stira between the Tanayim. I'm Rav Shmuel now on such a significant question. So Shmuel comes up with a drastic answer, epach. What you're going to have to do is you're going to take our Mishnah and you're going to invert our Mishnah. So that now basically you've created an alignment between the two Rav Yehudas on the Amud Aleph and the Amud Beis. And the two Chachamims. I've told you before. I have not submitted my doctorate yet, but I theorize that certain Amoraim are comfortable with this notion of epoch, and some Amoraim are not. Now, if I'm right, that's great, and if I'm not, you know, we'll just move on. But like, I think it's amongst the Amoraim whether or not you can, you know, they invoke this move of epoch. So, no, it doesn't tell us which one. Rashi. Sorry. No. Okay, no. Okay, so Epoch.
Is it logical to say the second one, Epoch?
You could make arguments. You can make arguments either way. I mean, it's easier to say the second one because there are only two shittas in the second one, right? As opposed to the first Mishnah where there are four shittas in the Mishnah, that part I agree with you. I agree. It's easier to be mehapech the second one. V'hamid diktani seif anisa slaachir v'hayulah banim heimenu v'hitov asksuva sa'amr Rav Yehuda amar lo shtikusech yafe midibarech. So the Gemara says, now just wait 1 second. Meaning, did you see what happened at the end of our Mishnah? The Amud Beis Mishnah, the Mishnah we just learned. That what happens? She had a child from the second husband. She's now going back to the first husband. She's demanding your ksuva. Who's telling her to be quiet? Rav Yehuda is telling her to be quiet. So what is that telling you? That according to Rav Yehuda, the issue now is clearly an issue of kilkul. Right. So right, it's clear. By the way, I take it back. It's clear that the Gemara wanted to be mahapech our Mishnah, the Mishnah on the Amud Beis. Mechlader Rav Yehuda chayshul kukula. So hanami epoch. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to have to flip that around as well. Gemara over here doesn't really mean flip. It just simply means take out the name Rav Yehuda and insert the name of the Chacham. So that is right now Shmuel Shita. Shmuel Shita is basically, we're going to have to do some editing on the Mishnayos in order so that the Shitas align. Okay. Abai Amar Lo Olam Lo Tepech. Abai says, no, don't do it. Don't touch the Mishnah. Leave the Mishnayos alone. Rav Yehuda Ba'ai Savala Kareb Meir V'Savala Kareb Elazar. So what we're going to say is as follows. Meaning that Rav Yehuda and our Mishnah is going to subscribe to the viewpoint of Rav Meir and Rav Elazar. So, B'tzarech Zavala K'Rav Elazar. So, in a case of Tzarech, he's going to hold like Rav Elazar. Remember, Rav Elazar back in the previous Mishnah taught us that a husband does not want to take his wife to Beis Din. Meaning he does not want to be Mevaz's wife. And B'she'en of Tzarech Zavala K'Rav Meir. And that's an issue of a neder that was made as a result of Chakir's Chacham. And B'she'enu Tzarech, now, if it's Hafara, so he holds like Rav Meir, which is that the husband is not going to have any regrets about a Hafara. So meaning that in the previous Mishnah, Rav Yehuda just simply has no reason to regret. Because on the issue of She'elas Chacham, he holds like Rabbi Elazar, he's not going to want to take his wife to Beis Din, so he's not going to regret that. On the issue of Hafara, he's not going to regret that as well. Because every husband knows that you could be made for your wife's neder, and he'll never regret that as well. Meaning that Rav Yehuda here in our Mishnah holds of a regret because there's something to regret. Had I known she could have had children, I never would have divorced her. In the previous Mishnah, there's just simply nothing to regret. Going to a Chacham, not an option. Being Mefer, I knew about that. I would have done that. Amarava Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, Kasha, Rabban, Lo Kasha. Ela Amarava Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, Lo Kasha, Kedeshaninan. So Rava is not arguing with Abai, he's just adding a point to Abai, because Abai, all he did was resolve the steer within Rav Yehuda. We still need to resolve the steer within the Chachamim. But Rava says, I'll do that. So Rabbanan Drabban Lokasha Kan Man Chacham Rameir Da Amra Beinan Tanai Kafel VaHachab Maikaskinan Bedlo Kafel Tanai. And then in terms of explaining Rav Yehuda, explaining the Chachamim of our mission that we're not worried about Kilkul. You know why we're not worried about Kilkul over here? Because again, what's the issue? He's going to regret. And again, regret is really predicated on the issue of it's as if I made a Tanai. However, the Gemara says that really our Mishnah, the Tanakam of our Mishnah, is none other than Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that for any Tanai to be a valid Tanai, there has to be a Tanai Kafel. In our Mishnah, at best, maybe you said something along the lines of, I regret. But you didn't make a Tanai Kafel. It's by definition not a Tanai, and therefore there's no opportunity, there's no option of being Mekalkel. So that's that's a Chachamim Shita in our Mishnah, which is really Reb Meir, and that's why we're not worried about Kilkel, because there's no reason to be worried about Kilkel, because you need a Tanai Kafel. Okay, I'd kind of stop over here. Tomorrow, we'll start with the next Mishnah.